What's happening, people? Welcome back to Ball Game Times podcast, the podcast where we gather all of our football opinions and deliver it straight to you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and every reputable platform where you get your pods. My name is Mubarak, and as always, I'm joined by my brother, Basil Alhassani. What's going on, my guy?
My friend, it's been good. We've had a very good Premier League weekend as well, with Arsenal winning against United at Old Trafford. Always exciting stuff.
Traore lifting his cross in. Here it is!
All game times.
Havertz managed to stay onside against Johnny Ann Evans. Havertz to cut across and Trossard's there to tap home.
We saw Arsenal go to Old Trafford, where they've not had a great record over the years, but they managed to win the game 1-0. People felt like, all the pundits felt before the game like Arsenal were going to go to United and absolutely trounce United, but that wasn't the case. And yes, I wasn't too surprised, because Arsenal have not really had a great record playing at Old Trafford over the years, regardless how bad this United team have been. I think Arsenal made them look a bit better, but at the end of the day, Trossard was able to score the winner for them. And just how important has he been for Arsenal this season, man? Because he kind of reminds me of players like Jota, or back in the day, Kalu for Chelsea.
Yes, always decisive, always at the right moment, at the right time to score a goal. It's like the famous saying, coming in clutch. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And Arsenal this season, they've been absolutely crazy. I mean, they didn't lose against City. They managed to grab 4 points off Man City. They managed to grab 4 points off Liverpool. Also, same thing against Spurs. They didn't lose. They were unbeaten against the top six throughout the whole season, and that's actually a very tremendous achievement. Usually when you try to win the Premier League, if you can get a great record against the top six, then you are in a very good spot. And that's what's happening right now with Arsenal. To be fair, coming into the game against Man United, I wasn't thinking it's going to be easy for them. I was thinking maybe a draw at best, because it's always difficult to play against Man United at Old Trafford. And it's a very big game between the two sides. But Man United, man, they were absolutely shambolic. I mean, it's like a disjointed team. Zero passion, zero fight, nothing. It's like Arsenal was playing a friendly game, honestly.
I think no matter what Ten Hag does right now, it just seems very difficult for them. I think, to be fair, they've not had luck with injuries as well. They had Fernandes out. Missing Man has been out for most of the season. They've only got one senior centre back fit. I mean, there's underlying issues at the football club as well, especially at the top. But right now they have new ownership, and it's looking a bit better. I was seeing footage of the stadium leaking, and it's a bit embarrassing. And it's looking like it's looking like everything Ronaldo said about them.
That was funny.
It's true.
The moment he said that, most United fans turned on Ronaldo, but it turns out he was saying the truth. And we're seeing that right now. But coming back to the injuries part, every single team in the Premier League has had injuries this season. I don't think it's an excuse to be this embarrassing. I mean, part of the reason is Ten Hag himself. But also, you have to look at the players. They've been terrible this
season. Bro, I want to cut the players some slack all the time for Man United on that Erik ten Hag, because we're going to get to talk about Borussia Dortmund and their exploits in the Champions League later on in the pod. But let me just talk about Sancho and how he's doing well at Dortmund right now. I mean, 5 months ago, he was the black sheep. He was the bad guy. He was the one who couldn't train. He was the one who couldn't get in the team. And, I mean, people want to quickly point accusing fingers at people like Casemiro and saying they've dropped form, and that Casemiro came to the Premier League just to get retirement funds. But I really don't want to judge any player based off of their form at United, because it seems to me like a toxic environment. It seems like the players are not even happy to play football.
Absolutely, yes.
So, bro, it's incredibly sad in a way.
I'm really glad that I'm not a Man United fan at this moment.
Still, bro, like, United, yes. Growing up, they were, like, one of the better teams in the Premier League. And to not see them in the Champions League, bro, we saw the Champions League this season and how people at Newcastle were stinking it up. No disrespect to them. They absolutely deserved to be in the top four based off of their performance last season in Newcastle. But, bro, I don't think that's the pedigree we want as Premier League fans to have in the Premier League, in the Champions League, because it's affecting the coefficients. And I mean, the longer teams like United and Chelsea keep dragging in the mud, then it's going to be difficult for English teams to thrive in Europe. I've seen a lot of reactions from sports fans and how they would love to lose against City on Tuesday, but I really don't think that would be the case. I think Spurs would, of course, try to be competitive. They'll try to win the game. I mean, Ange Postecoglou is a competitive man. He would set up to win.
They still have a chance to qualify for Champions League.
Exactly. So it's not like they don't have anything to fight for. Especially if Aston Villa get a result against Liverpool on Monday night. I mean, they would try to, or if Liverpool get a result over Aston Villa on Monday night, then they would try to consolidate on that and try to get something out of the game. But to be honest, to be realistic, the way City are moving right now, bro, they are going to smoke all their opponents. As I said in the last episode, City are going to win all of their last games. I might be wrong at the end of the day, but I'll be gladly wrong. Right now, I don't see how Spurs stop City.
So you would prefer City to win the title then?
Of course not. I'm just speaking logically and from the form I've seen from both sides. I don't care right now, to be honest. I really don't care. If there was a way for both of them not to win it, then I would take that. But one of them has to win it. The reason I wouldn't want City to win it would be because the Premier League would start looking like a farmer's league because they are going to win four in a row. But then, if Arsenal win it, I'll be glad for people like Arteta because he's putting in a lot of work. People like Saka, of course, he doesn't play for Nigeria, but he's got Nigerian roots. So I'll be glad to see him win the Premier League. But on the other side of that, Arsenal fans will be very unbearable, bro. They'll be so unbearable on Twitter, everywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm going to ask you about because... same for me. Part of me wants Arsenal to win because they absolutely deserve it this season. They've been on an amazing form throughout. They've been very good attacking-wise, defending-wise. It's like a 9 out of 10 performances the whole season. Part of me wants them to win just because of the way they've handled themselves this season. But another part of me wants City to win because Arsenal fans are going to be unbearable, man. They're gonna start comparing Arsenal with Liverpool, with us winning only one Premier League title in the last 8 years under Jurgen Klopp. They're gonna say, yes, look, we're kind of the same right now. We just won the title as well, and this is gonna be.
You trust Arsenal fans? They are going to tell you. Arteta is better than Klopp. Saliba is better than Van Dijk.
Exactly,
Saka is better than Salah.
I don't want to indulge any of that.
Let's get on to talking about the player of the season nominees. I mean, before we get into that, what's your take on the Premier League, the way they structure the young player of the season? I think there is a big flaw with it because I'm seeing people like Haaland, people like Isak. Exactly. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I think it would be for the best if a player is nominated for the player of the season, for the senior prize, then he shouldn't be allowed to be nominated for the under 23. That's for the best. It's going to give another player's chance of winning the young player of the year. Because seeing Haaland in both prizes, nominated for both prizes, it's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. Same goes for, I'm not sure, is also Saka included in both?
Saka was not even nominated for Player of the Season.
Really? That's
Yeah,
that's crazy, man.
We got two Arsenal players in there. There's Odegaard and Declan Rice.
That's crazy, because at least another two that needs to be in the list, Saliba and Saka as well. And that shows you how flawed it is. I don't know, man. Everything about the Premier League in recent years has been flawed. In terms of refereeing, in terms of scheduling games, and now rewards as well. It's just terrible. It needs an overhaul, to be honest.
Talking about overhauling it, I think the best thing the league could do right now is to adopt the NBA style, make it a Rookie of the Season award. That way, we would see players who have come to the academy able to also win something. Because people like Jarrell Kwanza, for instance, people like Bradley, Elliot. For instance.
Elliot has been amazing this season.
If it's a Rookie of the Season award, then Elliot might not be on the shortlist. Because if they're doing a Rookie of the Season award, then it would be a player who's having their first season in the Premier League, having come to the academy, or I don't know, wherever they're coming from, as long as it's their first season and they're under the age of 21, I think that should be.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe include a new like award, like the it would be three awards then: Player of the Season, Young Player of the Season, and Academy Player of the Season. That would make sense.
All game times
for the Player of the Season nominees. There is Declan Rice in there. There is Martin Odegaard. There is Alexander Isak. Erling Haaland, as you mentioned earlier. I'd give it to Phil Foden. I think he's had an incredible season. The way he's been moving so far this season, I think he has really grown into the man that he is. Like, he was a kid playing in the man's game for so many years, but this season I think he's proved that he has fully become a man. I mean, I know that the game against Real Madrid wasn't in the Premier League, but I think he showed a lot of maturity in that game. And I mean he's been breezing past opponents throughout this season, and partly with Kevin De Bruyne out with injury, I think that has made him really cement his place and show he could play in his natural position, which is the number 10 position. I think he's been playing.
And that left photo of him is amazing, man. Every time he takes a shot.
He's got a hammer of a left foot. He's got ice in his veins, bro. Like, he's not scared of the big occasion. No matter the occasion, he's just himself. He doesn't allow the occasion get to his head. He still finds a way to play his game and to the best of his ability. I don't understand why he doesn't start for England, but great player City have got there, and I think he'll be there for a long, long time, and he has the potential to become captain at some point.
I agree, absolutely. My favorite type of players are always left-footed players, man. They have magic.
Are you left-footed?
I'm left-footed myself. But not only because of that. Usually a left-footed player is gifted. Always great at dribbling, great at shooting, majestic all the time. Looking at players like Leo Messi, now Phil Foden, before Diego Maradona. Every time you see a left-footed player, you're going to have to assume he's going to be majestic in some way. So, and also talking about Cole Palmer, he's also nominated for the Player of the Season as well.
Fully deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do you think he's been great this season? Great signing for Chelsea?
Yeah, I think City would have a little bit of regrets. He forced the move after all. They wanted to keep him. Mm-hmm. Guardiola knows everything this guy is about. I mean, you can see from his pre-match press conferences. Every time City are about to play Chelsea, he's always waxing lyrical about Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a very tough season for Chelsea as a team. But for him as an individual, I mean, to get into the team of the season, I think is massive. It's a massive achievement for him. He's definitely going to be in the squad for the Euros for England. And I think he should start for England. I don't know how Gary Southgate is going to do it.
It's going
to
be a headache. It's going to be a headache. There are
headache to have.
I agree, man.
It's a very good headache.
Attacking-wise, you have Phil Foden, you have Cole Palmer, Harry Kane, You have Saka.
Saka.
You have, I wouldn't say Rashford, but you also have Rashford. You have Ollie Watkins. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of good options attacking.
I mean, there's Dominic there's
also Dominic
Solanke,
yeah,
if you want to.
Yes,
that too.
It's going to be a very good selection of players. But do you think England has a chance this time around?
I would love to see them win the Euros, but with Gareth Southgate, it's difficult to see England win anything. They could get to the final and then
stumble like always.
Bro, I don't think they would win it, to be honest. But if they do, I'll be glad.
I mean,
the only
thing I hate about England is the moment they get into the semi-finals, you start hearing the "it's coming home" chants, and it pisses me off. Every time it pisses me off. Whenever I hear this, I just want them to lose. So,
football's coming home. It's coming home.
Yeah, so
it's coming.
It's kind of unbearable, man. But to be fair, if they manage to get into the final, then I would be backing them to win it. But we'll see.
England have got the biggest talent pool in international football at the moment, better than the likes of Brazil, better than the likes of Germany. I think only France comes close.
Not France, no. France is still better.
Well,
yeah,
that's arguable, but
I think France is still the best national team around this time. But maybe England.
Maybe because France have Mbappe, because Mbappe is that marquee guy who you can rely on in big moments, because I don't think England has that standout performer. That could be Saka in a couple of years, but I don't think he's on that world class level yet.
Harry Kane, no.
But Harry Kane is a good player. I don't think he's decisive in big moments.
I don't think he's that guy you want to really rely on. Harry Kane this season has been tremendous, man. But he's been unfortunate.
Yeah.
Not to win any title.
But Harry Kane wouldn't. He can't lace Mbappe's boots,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not making defenders as scared as Mbappe.
I agree.
Does
absolutely
so.
Agree.
It's not. It's different levels.
Yes.
All game times.
It's very deflating. I mean, we've had a roller coaster of a season, because at the start of the season, if anyone told me we would have Champions League in the bag and a trophy, I would absolutely bite their hands off and take it. But as the season went on, we started to improve. We got into the title race and it looked like, okay, because I wasn't having that title race talk at the start of the season. It took weeks for me to start believing.
Remember when we were having prediction? I was convinced that we will be in the title race. Remember
I remember. I remember.
Yeah. I was also saying this could be like Klopp chance to maybe snatch the title one more time. And for a bit we had it in, but then suddenly everything crumbled and we're back to square one
now. I thought that was you just being optimistic when you were
optimistic and also kind of predicting. And it almost came off, but almost. That's the story with Liverpool every
almost
time.
Doesn't kill a bird. When you have
a
catapult
exactly.
And you're trying to kill a bird, you have to hit the target. Oh, it's crazy. But what has been your high points of the season and low points so far?
Highest point would be the game against Newcastle. With Nunez coming on as a sub and scoring two goals to end us the game with a man down. Lowest point would be probably the Manchester United game.
Yeah. Which of them? Was it the one in the league or the one in the FA Cup?
In the league. The one in the league. I really couldn't care less about the FA Cup. The one in the league I'm talking about.
That was a bad game, bro.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yes, it was a terrible game.
For me, my highest point of the season, even though we didn't win that game, but the way I felt after the game, I felt like, we're absolutely doing something here, because we had City in a chokehold, bro. The game against City at Anfield, the second leg, where McAllister got the equalizer for us from the spot, and it looked... We should have got a second penalty in that game.
Yes, we should have got
all the kids
out. We were robbed.
we had all the kids out.
They were robbed.
We absolutely played them off the park. And I was like, this is City under Pep, man. And we played them as well as we did. And I thought there was no way Arsenal were going to go to the Etihad and defeat City. And that was exactly what happened at the end of the day. I think they drew the game.
But they got a very massive point.
Yeah, they did.
To be fair.
But it would have still been in Liverpool's favour if we had won our games.
True.
But unfortunately, it didn't happen. So my lowest point of the season...
That's always the case.
Yeah, my lowest point of the season wasn't in the Premier League. It was in the Europa League. Losing 3-0 against Atalanta at Anfield. I thought it was a very flat performance. First half, we looked a bit decent, but... The way they played, I mean, it's no surprise they are in the Europa League final now. They take on Bayer Leverkusen in a few weeks' time from now. But we're not talking about that on this episode. We'll be talking about that in subsequent episodes. But yeah, that was my lowest points. I mean, losing 3-0 against Atalanta, no matter what we did that day, we just couldn't get past them. They were so physical.
And
in the end,
Yeah, we were outplayed that game. Gasperini took Klopp out for a park, man. He was just, we couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
He had us, like, he in his attacking display was out of this world. Every time they had the ball, they were just in control of the game. Also, their defensive shape was on point. We just couldn't do anything that game. But let's talk about post-Klopp. What do you think will happen with the appointment of Arne Slot as the new head coach?
I think...
And quote-unquote head coach.
Well...
He's not going to be called the manager anymore.
Oh.
You know that,
is that
right?
A change?
Yes, there's going to be a change because a manager would be responsible of a lot more than just coaching the team. He would be in charge of transfers, of... other deciding factors. But now with the new system that we're going to have with Michael Edwards being the CEO of football, we also have Mark Hughes as well. We also have Julian Ward as well.
Say Mark Hughes?
Yes. The one who was the sporting director for Bournemouth.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm mixing up the names now because Mark Hughes used to manage City, remember?
Maybe I am the one mixing up the name, but you know what?
Yeah. But if you're saying head coach, I think in Nigeria, we are way beyond the curve then, because this happened a couple of years back when we had Gennaro as manager, and they said he wasn't going to be called the manager. He was going to be called first team coach, and somebody else would be the manager because he's only in charge of footballing activity. And people were kicking against it then. But you know, enough of Super Eagles, like... Let's focus on Liverpool now. I mean, I think slots. I'm still not very convinced, if I'm being honest.
Sorry, not Mark Hughes, Richard Hughes.
Hughes.
Yeah.
With slots, if I'm being very honest, I am still not very convinced because obviously I've not seen him play before. I've not seen his teams play. I've seen a lot of highlights. I've seen a lot of videos being done analyzing his style of play, which is exciting because there is a huge similarity with him and Klopp, and he's a huge student of the game as well.
With a better defensive shape as well.
He's not done it in the Premier League. So I think
where is he next season?
Yeah, we have to wait and see with Ancelotti. To be honest, I don't really want to jump into conclusions with him yet. He has a good profile. Has won the Eredivisie with his club Feyenoord. Won the cup as well in this season. He won the cup this season, right? So he's a manager that has proven,
and he came second.
Yeah, he's a manager that has proven he can win things, but not at the highest level yet. Liverpool is a huge jump from what he's used to in the Eredivisie, and I'm sure he's relishing it. Every video I've seen of him is always smiling. He looks happy.
Honestly, I like the way he took the news as well. He's very straightforward. He just said, "I want to manage Liverpool." He just said it plain and simple. He doesn't like to, overshadow things or anything. He just take it like straightforward. And I like that. He seems to be a very good personality.
Yeah. You remember that season when the Eredivisie got cut short during COVID, right? Maybe if he wasn't cancelled, maybe he would have won the league with AZ Alkmaar at that point.
Yes. The future is looking exciting, if you can ask me my opinion.
I'm not too excited, but in terms of signings,
I'll try to convince you. So with the new setup of the team, we have, as I said before, Michael Edwards, new CEO. And you know Edwards, of course. He was the one who appointed Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
So he's a mastermind when it comes to signing players, hiring coaches. So I trust him. We have also Richard Hughes as sporting director. We have Julian Ward back as technical director.
Yeah.
We have this guy, I don't know much about him, called Pedro Marquez. He's going to be director of football development. So I like the way the club is set up right now. It seems there is a system, there's an order. Because when it comes to last two seasons, it was all Klopp. He was calling the shots.
And he made some terrible decisions.
Exactly. So this is going to be a much better improvement, if you're going to ask me.
Mm.
Yes, it's not the same coach. Klopp is just Klopp. He's not going to be anywhere near him. But with the way the club is set up right now, I think there's a good chance it's going to be a promising future for Liverpool.
Yeah, I think with Richard Hughes, I think that's somebody we should actually be excited about, because if you look at the structure at Bournemouth, they've been able to manage their resources very, very well. They're actually one of the smallest teams in the Premier League, but they've been able to sustain everything they have, and they always have incredible, exciting talent coming through. I mean, they make some exciting signings as well. And the other guy you mentioned with the Portuguese name, I can't remember his name anymore. Pedro Marquez, yeah. I read about him. I think Liverpool are trying to emulate what City have done.
For Benfica before.
Yes. So we're going to have links to South America, because Benfica always do that. They always get players fresh from South America and bring them on to the main team, and they most of the time they succeed. So I think Liverpool are trying to thread that part where we can get talent from South America and then bring them into the club.
Remember the talk about the guy named Andre from Fluminense?
Yeah, it's died down now.
Yeah, they were selling us dreams, man, with this player, but then everything cooled off. No more like speculation about him.
I think his club let him down, because Liverpool were very interested in signing him in January, but his club insisted he stayed back and played in the Copa Libertadores final, which they won anyway. Yes.
I like the way you said it.
I tried.
Yeah.
So about signings, how do you see us going this summer? Do you think Salah would leave? And if he's leaving, what should be the approach? And which other players in terms of incomes and outcomes?
Actually, I don't think Salah will leave. We read a couple of weeks ago that Michael Edwards is keen on keeping him on the club, and he's probably going to sign an extension soon. So I think he's going to stay for at least one more season. And he wants to play in the Champions League. That's what Salah is. He just wants to compete at the top level. In terms of new signings, I think we should focus on getting like Mohamed Kudus, as well as Somerville from Leeds. Both very talented wingers. And if for some reason Diaz leaves, then we need to replace him. And I think Somerville is very good. I've seen highlights of him. I've seen his stats this season. He's one of the top performers in the championship this season. And he fits the bill. Remember last season, he scored a goal against us.
Yeah.
And he ended the Van Dijk streak of not losing the game at Anfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I liked him ever since. He's a really good player. And if you manage to get him, then yeah, that's good. Other players I would think of, we desperately need to sign a new defensive midfielder.
Yep.
I like Endo, but he's a squad player at best.
Yep.
He can't compete against Man City and Arsenal with the players like Rodri and Declan Rice.
And that's sad to say, because no disrespect, Endo has been he has had a good season, and he has been able to, I mean, put himself in glory, if you like, because before he came, nobody was excited. Nobody was really looking forward to anything tangible with him. We all wanted Caicedo.
He did well. He did well for.
Yeah. I think he
did well for the. Yeah, I think he did extremely well for the expectations that we had of him. But to be honest, next season, he should be at least like a squad player, not a guaranteed starter. And we need to sign a top defensive midfielder.
What player would that be?
Difficult question, but I would take a look at Bruno Guimarães from Newcastle. He would be a dream signing.
I would actually look at a player like João Palhinha from
Palhinha is good, but I don't think he fits the criteria with Michael Edwards. We need younger players.
Yeah.
Yeah, his age, he's approaching 30 years of age. So he doesn't sweat, unfortunately. Think he's 20 years. But he's a good player. He's 29.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 29. But maybe Douglas Luiz from Aston Villa, he's good. Bruno Guimarães is good. And remember, Michael Edwards is a big fan of Bruno Guimarães. He wanted to sign him before he went to Newcastle when he was in Lyon. Yeah. So maybe there's something in there. I don't know. Other names? Can you think of someone?
I think you mentioned all the key players. Bruno Guimarães would be an absolute steal, because it's not like Newcastle really need the money, but they would need to balance up their books with FFP. So Liverpool can take full advantage of that maybe it's cheeky 60 million or 70 million could get him. And Michael Edwards has shown in the past, yes, he can be shrewd with money. He can be very calculative with how he goes about signing players. But when we need a player, if we absolutely need to sign in that position, then he's more than willing to splash the cash, as he showed in the past with people like Van Dijk and Alisson Becker. So, yeah.
Bro, I've heard talk that he's going to sell Tsimikas to Brentford for £40 million. Can you believe that?
£40 million for Tsimikas.
£40 million for Tsimikas for a second choice left back. I mean, this guy works magic, man. I don't know how he does this.
Bro, Brentford, I can see why they might want to sign him. But I thought they've had Reguilón on loan for a while now, and he's actually been doing well.
Yeah, I think
my FPL.
Yes, but I think I've heard this talk. I'm not sure if it's concrete, but if he managed to get that, I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, bro. Because I remember I was getting huge amounts out of, not a huge amount, we got 15 million for Jordan Ibe, or Jordan Ibe, if you like.
Jordan Ibe, yeah.
I don't know what he's up to these days.
Million pounds.
Was it 20 or 15? Yeah, we got good money for him. We got good money for Sri Lanka as well.
Yeah, he sold them to Richard Hughes. He was sporting director at Bournemouth at the time. So maybe there's something in that. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Would you take Dominic Solanke back at Liverpool?
Is he better than Nunes? Do you think he's better than Nunes?
I think absolutely better than Nunes. Absolutely, bro.
Debatable, man. Debatable.
Confidence level is high.
Only confidence level,
ability-wise, he might not be. I think they are different type of players, the way they approach the game, and maybe because if I look at it now, okay, maybe if you put Nunez in a Bournemouth team, he might actually do better because there's less pressure. Because when you play with all of that pressure at Liverpool, you're expected to win every game, you're expected to win every trophy, then that can be pressure.
But based on their profiles, Solanke is just a traditional striker. It's just a point and shoot. I don't like that type of strikers.
But he's not.
Nunes, on the other hand,
he really isn't just a traditional striker. If I think you should watch, you should take time and see some highlights.
I've watched some of them. Some of his highlights. He's more of an, like, a natural. Natural striker, like a natural number nine. Yeah, he can have one, two touches with the wingers and all that, but compared to Nunes, Nunes is more of a, like, an all-rounder. He can be a winger, he can be a striker, he can create chances, he can... The only problem with Nunes is just his final touch, and it can come with time, it can come with confidence, with great coaching. And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to next season with Arne Slot. I want to see how he deals with Nunes. Because there's a player in there. There is a real talent in Nunes. And if we sell him to, say, Barcelona, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a world beater in the Spanish league if he manages to go there. I don't want to see that. I want him to succeed at level 4.
That's my problem with South American players.
Yes.
Real Madrid and Barcelona always like the mecca for them. They always want to go there.
Exactly, yes. And they always do good when it comes to South American players when they go to Real Madrid or Barcelona. But I want him to stay. I want him to unleash his inner beast. So I hope that happens next season.
Yeah, let's see. Let's hope with Nunes. If it was left to me, I'll probably sign another striker in case Nunes is having
would you sign? I would much rather sign Isaac. To be fair, Isaac is
I would take Isaac, but I don't think Newcastle would want to sell him at this point. Except, of course, if you can take advantage of the fact that they need to balance their book with FFP, because they wouldn't want to get a points deduction just like people at Everton have suffered this season. So they might be looking at that as well. But I would like to sign a bit of like a hybrid forward, somebody like Kudus, as we mentioned earlier. I think if we get a player like that, that's somebody who can chip in with goals, and he can as well be an understudy for Salah. Elliot has tried to be the understudy, but I don't think he's that like for like player for Salah, because every time he plays with the right wing, there's a massive difference in our style of play. So if you have somebody like Kudus, he's a player that can score goals. He's a player that if you play him on the right, you can decide to play Salah right through the middle. So I think that would be a very, very useful signing if we can get him from
West Ham. How about Xavi Simmels from Leipzig?
Good player as well. Let's talk about him. And he's Dutch as well. So I can see the Dutch connection with Slot. But
Jeff,
let's just wait and see how it goes. If we can get him, then perfect. But if
top,
not,
top
then...
talent. Let's talk about Champions League. What did you make of the semi-final? Real Madrid, Bayern, also PSG out. Endorsement to the final.
I think for PSG, I think it was really about destiny, because it seemed like it was written for them. It was written in the stars, or maybe in the sun, for them not to qualify for the Champions League final. They struck the post 6 times in both legs. Four times in the first leg, twice
crazy
in the second
numbers.
Leg. But let's crazy not take numbers. Anything away from Dortmund's defensive shape, which Mats Hummels was on top of. He was incredible
in
those games.
Probably the best
years
defender.
Old. Yeah, I think
the best defender this season in Champions League.
Yeah, I would give him that. I think he's been outstanding. And up until this point of the competition, he has been doing his thing, but nobody really was paying attention. We're like, it's Dortmund, they are going to get knocked out at the end of the day. And at some point, it looked like everybody wanted to play Dortmund. But now, who's having the last laugh? Dortmund are absolutely excited to be in the final. And I'm glad for them. I think against Real Madrid,
I would be really happy if they managed to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to end Marco Reus' career with the Champions League. That would be like a story written into the stars.
I mean,
we're talking about Real Madrid right now. I mean, it's Real Madrid. They have it in the bag already.
I don't think Real Madrid have ever lost a Champions League final in the new format. I think the last time he lost a European Cup final, it was against Liverpool, 1981. Right?
Yes, against Liverpool, 1981.
And since then, they haven't lost. They always win in the final, so it's going to be difficult. But there's always a change. That's one constant thing with life. Change is inevitable. And hopefully we get to see a Dortmund victory. That would be lovely. I mean, I have my agendas. So I want to see Jadon Sancho win the Champions League and then go back to that toxic environment called Man United.
He's gonna go back.
Men out over his neck.
Would you take Sancho at Liverpool?
No. I wouldn't. I don't think he has the speed. Well, we have a different manager now, so we don't quite know what approach the team is going to take. But if they're saying it's similar to Klopp, then he doesn't have the speed to play for us. I would rather a player like Crescencio or some of you who is very, very quick to play on the left.
Yes, I agree. Okay, how about Pape? Did you watch the video that he announced he's going to leave PSG?
Bro, I saw that video and I felt like this video was probably recorded 2 years ago because he has been on the trail of trying to leave and they've been persuading him over and over and over again. I mean, Mbappe has paid his dues for PSG in terms of goal scoring. He's their highest goal scorer ever in history. He's a homeboy. He's his hometown club. He's given everything for them. And I mean,
his hometown club? Wasn't it Monaco?
Yeah, it was Monaco. He played for as a youth player, but he's actually from Paris. So
he played for Paris youth team.
I'm not sure. I think he went to Clairefontaine, which is like the academy for the French national team. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so he's Paris born and bred. I think he grew up in a community called Brondy. In the suburbs of Paris, so he's a Paris boy, and it's time for him to leave now. He did a heartfelt video for the fans, and I mean I liked the way he mentioned some of his managers from the past, and he was very respectful in the video, and he referenced how much the fans mean to him. But
yes,
interestingly
enough, he didn't mention the current president of PSG.
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, he didn't mention him in any shape or form. Nothing. Not a thank you. Not a thing. It's like there's something between them. Also, just yesterday, PSG announced that they're not gonna have like a goodbye ceremony for Mbappe.
They're not doing a farewell ceremony for him.
They're not doing a farewell.
Because of the video, but he didn't say anything because of the video. He was very respectful of the club. I think what you just mentioned now about the president is probably the reason.
Not only that, I think he published the video without permission. That's the main reason.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I think that's the main reason. Anyways, do you know a streamer called Speed?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, did you hear what he had to say? He said, "Papa is not going to Real Madrid."
Where did he say Mbappe?
He said it in one of his streams. He said he's not leaving. He's not going to Madrid.
Then
but he didn't say where he's gonna leave. Do you think there's a chance he goes to another team other than Real Madrid?
He always talks about his mom's club being favorite club being Liverpool. But I don't think we have the resources to afford him now. Because I'm hearing his salary is going to be right at the top of the table. Alongside people like Vinicius and Jude Bellingham, who are the top earners at Real Madrid. Do you think Liverpool have got the budget to afford
this salary? Honestly, they can. They can fund it, but they don't want. They absolutely can't fund it.
But that would be a dream. That would be a dream come true.
It would be a dream signing. But I don't think it's gonna happen. Let's be realistic.
Yeah.
But there is some say that it might happen, because before, I think John Henry was interested in Mbappe when he was in Monaco. Remember the talk that he invited him to his private jet, showed him around Liverpool, showed him around the facilities and all that.
Actually, and also never you just heard said about that.
Yeah, it's been known. This was known. This was, I think, in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Also, as you just said, his mom is a Liverpool fan. So there's a slight chance, but I'm not having any of it. I'm just going to be realistic. He's going to Madrid, but who knows?
But if it happens, listeners, you heard it here first. If it happens, you heard it here first. Mbappe to Liverpool.
Let's hope so.
I'm just going to be... I'm not being Delulu now, but let's hope.
Let's hope so.
Everything you do, make sure you subscribe to the channel, whatever platform you're listening from. Make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends about the podcast. If you have people who love football, especially Liverpool fans. And of course, as you can see so far, or as you can hear so far, it's not just about Liverpool. We've talked about the Premier League title race. We've talked about football in Europe. We've talked about Mbappe. We've talked about the Champions League fixtures. Yes. I mean, so it's an all-rounder podcast where we just talk about football. And I think this is the best place for us to call you an end. Or do you have anything extra to add before we go, bro?
I think we've covered everything we needed so far for today's episode. It's been good. It's been good.
Yeah. So I've been Mubarak and he's been Basil Al-Hassani. And we are over and what?
Okay.
I've been...
Brother, look
now, let's do it again. Now, we have to do it again. And we're not editing this part out. When I say, I've been Mubarak and he's been UB, you say Basil and we are over and...
Okay.
Out.
Okay, okay.
So you have to say Basel and out. Basel first and out second. Do you get it now?
Yes. So you want me to say and he's been and I say Basel and we are out?
And we are over when I say I'll say and we are over in and you say out.
Okay. Okay, okay, got it.
Okay. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode as much as we've enjoyed recording it for you. My name is Mubarak. And he's been Basil. Nah, I made the mistake now. Okay, I've been Mubarak. And he's been
Bas.
And we are over and
out.